stretch out, that your skin can bring you so much pain. Now I hear you say, you got the best of both ways. Won't you come and take a walk in my shoes, and tell me if you take my place. Under the cover of my skin,
welcome to episode number 190 of the Inside Running Podcast. Thank you for joining us for another week. Big show. Lots happened in the world of athletics, running, Olympic qualifications in the last 7 days. So thanks for giving us a bit of your attention and joining us on this week's episode. Welcome to my co-host up in Canberra, 2 weeks out from the biggest payday of his year at the Gold Coast Marathon pacemaking duties, Bradley Croker. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Brady. It's my A race for the year.
Exactly. Starting to get a bit nervous?
Nah, not really. Not after, like, Friday was good. Going through half, probably a couple of minutes faster than what I'll have to do at the Gold Coast. So, yeah.
Yeah, you've had a big week. Looking forward to unpacking your week. Pretty, mixing it with some big dogs there. We'll hear all about that shortly. And my other co-host joined us from a car park in Noosa, Moose, Julian Spence, the only representative we sent to the 2019 World Championships for the marathon. Welcome to this week's episode.
The men's marathon.
Men's marathon. Yep.
Yeah.
Got that wrong before. I'll continue to get it wrong.
Woolworths car park tonight. So just thought I'd kill two birds with one stone. Needed to get some batteries for my heart rate monitor. So just thought I'd duck down before tomorrow morning to run and record while I was down here.
So you've already been in the supermarket or you go after the show?
Already done it. I just got down here a bit early, started setting up. I actually found a spot, and then as I set up and looked up, I was looking straight into the beer garden of the the pub with the pokies and all that, and it was getting pretty raucous. So I thought this is not a good spot to sit in a car with your lights on creepily.
Yeah, some distractions there as well. You want to keep your focus on this episode.
Yeah, Google Drive got me sorted.
Got you sorted. A bit's happened, fellas. We'll talk about it all tonight, but let's start off. Bradley, might go to your week first, because you've got your big listener question you're going to throw to us as well. So looking forward to hearing what that is. Left some people on a cliffhanger last week.
I've been thinking about this all week.
I said to Carly Friday morning, there's only 4 sleeps to go until Brad tells us to listen to the question. I'm that excited.
Well, you're going to be very disappointed. So Monday, just my standard 45-minute loop, 4:16s. Then Tuesday was track, and it was a time trial week. So the time trial was set up for anyone who was around that 16 minutes to sort of 16:45 as like a race. So everybody else who wasn't doing the time trial was doing a quarters session. And because I was pacing, I thought a full quarters session followed by like a 16-minute 5K was probably like a little bit too much. So I did a session I used to do a lot when I was young, 10 200s off basically a minute recovery. And back in the day, I used to do these in, I don't know, like 28, 29 seconds, I suppose. So I did this, average like 30.5 or so for each. So like my quickest was just under 30. My slowest was just over 31. I haven't run this fast in a long time. I was happy with the times that I was hitting. By the end of it, though, I had a little bit of that sort of jelly legs and a lot, probably just a bit of neuromuscular fatigue from just not having run that fast. You just feel a bit sloppy. But hopefully the more I do of this, I can hopefully get a little bit of speed back. So finished that session, had about, 7 or 8 minutes before we did the time trial. And then, so paced that. We had like 7 guys break 16:30. We had a guy run 15:50. I ran 16:05. Felt pretty comfortable. Early on, I was probably still running a bit of the lactic out of the legs from the 200. You know that feeling where you, like, the pace feels way slower than what you'd been running, but you've still got that sort of wobbly, like, legged feeling. You guys, you know that feeling?
Yeah. Hey, haven't you done some quick 400s at the end of workouts that got close to like 60, 62s? Like, you've run this fast recently, haven't you?
No. Like, I think 63 is probably the fastest I've run for a 400. Yeah. And like, I've run a few 31s maybe, like in the middle of a session, but not like, not straight 200s.
You got to be careful with stuff like this. Old fella like you doing quick 200s.
Well, exactly.
High risk, low reward, in my opinion.
Funny you mentioned this, Brady, because that is very much in relation to my listener question. I think it'll actually be a really good discussion later on in the show.
Oh, are we doing that as the actual show listener question?
Yeah, I've written it. Yeah.
I did hit up all the patrons for new listener questions, and we got some rippers in, but we'll have to put a line through that one tonight, and we'll just put it back a week. Anyway, that's good.
All right, so that was my session. Yeah, 10 200s followed by a 5K at low 16 minutes. Then Wednesday, after work, got out at Mulligan's. It was a pretty feral evening. So I reckon the last half an hour was in the dark and pretty strong wind. Strong wind and rain. But after track, my calves were so domsy up until about Friday. Which was to be expected, like running that sort of that pace for 10 reps, not having done it for a while. There's no injury pain. It was just pure DOMS. And so for the first part of this medium long run, the first 15, 20, 30 minutes was like, oh, this is a bit of a grind. And then once I ran the crap out of the legs from Tuesday night, I actually felt pretty good. So did 19K, 4:17s. Thursday afternoon, just my sort of one lap of Mulligan's, 10.7K, 4:18s. Thursday, I got a message from Brett Robinson telling me that him and Jack, Liam Adams, Sinead and Collis were coming to Canberra for a few weeks and wanted to know where a good place to train for like the longer marathon type sessions. So I suggested the East Basin of the lake because it's probably, like, it's still a bit twisty and turny, but it's definitely flatter than the West Basin. So I suggested that they train there, and I asked him what they had, and it was like 5x4K off a 2-minute jog. And the two guys that I train with normally on a Friday morning, Max and Charlie, they weren't doing sessions. So I was like, oh, is Sinead doing the same session? Because like Fridays I normally do something a bit sort of tempo-like. And he said, yeah. So anyway, I organized to meet those guys at 9:30 down at the lake. And
invited yourself down, mate.
Yeah, pretty much.
Did they invite you in the end or not? But you were the local knowledge, passing on the tips about where to train.
So I asked Brett whether Sinead was doing the same session, and I said, let her know if, you know, she wants a hand. And then I actually just messaged her on Instagram anyway and said, hey, Sinead, I heard you moved to Canberra. Let us know if you want
just
a hand with any...
Slid into the DMs, Bruce.
Let us know if you want a hand with any sessions. So
I'm very good at pushing long runs too. She'll like that. She needs some.
Well, I've only run, so Friday was the only run I've done with them. Anyway, so I met them down there, and Max and Charlie, who I train with, they, because they weren't running on that Friday morning or weren't doing a session, they came out on the bikes. So Charlie helped the boys out, and Max rode with Collis, Sinead, and myself. So, yeah, session was 5x4K off a 2-minute jog. At the start, like, Collis was like, oh, the aim's sort of 3:22s, but both of us weren't sure how we'd go with the full session because I haven't done anything this long at that sort of pace for like close to 2 years, I suppose. And he's like, he said that the pace is not too hard for him at all, but it's just the wear and tear on the body over the course of the session.
Did why 3:22s? Is that marathon pace, goal marathon pace?
I didn't ask. I just went, okay.
Just shut up and do what we say.
Yeah. So anyway, we took off and we were pretty much running all side by side, like three across the bike path for the first rep. And it was pretty solid. Like, we probably averaged 3:16s for the first 4K. And then Collis said, oh, yeah, it's a little bit too hot I'll control the pace. So then it was basically just Collis and myself at the front for the next couple of reps, with Sinead just sitting back, and Max would sort of take off halfway through each rep and then stand by the side of the road with a drink, and we'd grab that and then hand it to Sinead. At about probably halfway through the third rep, Collis said, look, because we're doing three reps out, two reps back. So halfway through the third rep, Collis said, look, I might just pull the pin here, have a bit of a break. And so then that way I know that I'll definitely be able to get Sinead like to the finish line. So I then basically paced Sinead for the next 1 or 2K of that rep, did our 2 minute recovery, and then we turned around and met Collis sort of halfway through the fourth rep. And then, which was good for me because it meant that at any point then I could pretty much just pull the pin knowing that Collis was going to get the job done. So yeah, I ended up pulling the pin with about 900 meters to go. I looked down at my watch and I felt, it was like, you know what these marathon sessions are like, you go through so many ups and downs. Like the first rep, I'm like, oh, I don't reckon I'm going to be able to do five of these. And then I hit my rhythm through reps 2, 3, and started the fourth one, and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to do this easy. And then I got to like the fifth one, and about 2K in, I'm like, oh, my legs are starting to get pretty heavy now. And I looked down, I was like 20.8K, and I said, look, I'm just going to go to the half marathon. So yeah, pulled the pin at the half marathon, which was like 71.30. Yeah, which I was pretty happy with. Like the only times I've ever done these sessions has been like 4 or 5 weeks before a marathon, and I'm definitely not 4 or 5 weeks out from a marathon. So to go through a half marathon in 71.30, I was pretty happy with it. And then yeah, we just cooled down for like 5.5K at 4:05. So, and then pulled up really well. Like yeah, my legs were getting a bit heavy, but the next morning there was no like soreness, no DOMS, nothing. So we got out for an hour Saturday morning, 4:11s. And then Sunday, I wasn't sure how far I was going to go because I ran like 31K on the Friday. I gave myself the option of pretty much just doing 20, 25K. But if I felt good, I'd go longer. And yeah, felt actually really, really strong, and did 30K at 4:09s on Sunday for a week of 133. So I had the extremes. I had like the fastest session I've done in a long time, and the longest session I've done in a long time.
So this workout, like 3:22s, out of the 20Ks you did, you only ran 2Ks at 3:22s. Like everything else was quicker. The first K was 3:13.
So I was looking at it.
This is a massive session. And you're doing it off 2 minutes, but your 2 minute averages were like, the first one was 4:04K pace, the next one was 4:15. The next one is 3:56. The next one was 3:49. Like, you guys were floating the 2 minutes. Sinead must be so fit.
I should have mentioned that, yeah, so I guess each rep was probably between 3:18 and 3:20 average. And, yeah, the two-minute jogs probably averaged out at about 4-minute Ks, which, like, definitely felt like we're recovering well in those 2 minutes. Like, because, you know, there's a big difference when you've been running sort of 3:15s to 3:20s and you back it off to 4 minutes. Like, it does feel really slow. And we got a bit of so the third rep was into a pretty strong headwind. And so then the fourth rep, when we turned around, that's when you'll see that we started running like 3:17s, I think, at the start of the fourth rep. And that felt really, really comfortable after having run a few Ks into a headwind. But yeah, like, I think, so this coming week, I think they're doing 4x5K off 2 minute jog. And I think Collis was saying that he wants to just go a little bit slower in those jogs. Because if you look at what the boys did, the boys were running close to 5 minute Ks on their 2 minute recovery. And before the session, Collis said that there was no limit on the 2 minute jog. It was pretty much do whatever you sort of need to do. So
to recover. Could
have definitely run that slower. But yeah, like, I averaged 3:23s for the 21K, and you know, like, the only time Sinead like dropped off was if we went up like over a bridge, up over a rise. We sort of dropped her a little bit, but then, you know, we slowed down a little bit and she got back on. But she finished the session pretty strong.
What was the idea? 3:22s, like, this to me seems like a marathon workout. I mean, you can't really say it's anything other than a marathon workout. So was it like, obviously we would think marathon pace for this type of workout you would aim to hit. Do you think she was running marathon effort?
I don't know. Like, she did it pretty comfortably. Like, we would obviously talk during the recoveries. There wasn't a lot of talk during the reps, but she certainly wasn't, like, breathing, like, super heavy. I asked her after the third rep. I said, oh, how are you feeling? She goes, oh, I'm tired. And then we started the, I think we started the fifth rep, and Collis said, Sinead generally feels better at the fifth rep than she does at the first. She's a bit funny like that. So yeah. she's strong. Like, it's a, yeah, like, it's a, you know, it's a pretty impressive session. Like, her going through.
She's gone through 3 minutes slower than her half marathon PB though, hasn't she?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. But like, it's not super quick here. Yeah. Like,
when you think about that, I suppose that's like, so maybe she got some breathing room.
Yeah.
How up and about was he, Moose, that he ran a 71-minute half marathon for the fastest half marathon since October 2018? Isn't that bullshit?
His expectations are low.
I know.
Right now.
Remember when he used to be a 65-minute guy, and now he's stoked to run 71:30.
71:30, and that's what he's bragging about.
Congratulations. Give him a kudos.
Come 10th in the women's at Gold Coast with that time.
Yeah. Well, I think it was more the, I didn't know how this, like, I haven't run this pace. Like, look at all of my sessions for the last year. I go out and do 9K at 3:23. That's my session, not 21K.
Moose and I tried to explain this to you in the morning, how fit you are, and you were just downplaying it big time.
Yeah, but it's still different. Like, you must admit, this sort of session, you build up to this session.
You do
this session when you're running 160K a week, you've done some 3K reps. Like, I've done none of that. And so, yeah, I might be fit, but you still don't know how you're going to go. And
at the same time, you're fresher than someone in marathon training.
Yeah,
you know, and you're a 2:17:65:29 guy. Like, you are, and you've strung a lot of weeks together consistently.
That's not far off 2:17 marathon pace.
That's what, a lot of those splits actually. That would be more impressive, that workout, Brad, than what you were doing before BWA.
Yeah, so to put in perspective, like, where we trained was exactly where I trained when I did my 2x12K off a K float. So that session I ran 25K at 3:17 average. And so I did 21K at 3:23. So it's like, not, you know, it's 6 seconds a K and 4K less. But I was obviously in, you know, marathon training then.
Yeah, but for that 2x12K, you had 24K of it at quality. This one you had, what, 8 minutes?
Yeah, we had 8 minutes.
So that was only 3 minutes.
That's not jogging. 3:49s ain't jogging.
Nah. Nothing. Anyway, anything quicker than 4:10s isn't jogging.
Yeah, anyway, like, I was happy with how it went. Like, I was a bit annoyed at the end that I didn't finish off the session, but I'm just like, you know what,
You got the 71-minute half marathon. What else would you go for?
Well, there's just nothing else to be got. Like, I don't know, I just felt like I was working, like, pace-wise wasn't too bad, but it was just my legs started to just get heavy, and I'm like, you know, this is way more than, like, I'm not prepared to do, like, my body's not prepared to do these sessions at the moment, so I'm enjoying my
run. Another one, right? This week.
Are you going to do one on Friday?
I think we're going to split it on Friday. So I think Cole's going to do two reps.
I think we're going to split it. He's like one of the crew now, isn't he? Assistant coach. I think we're going to split it.
Himself down.
He'll rock up a clipboard.
I'm one run away from an MTC hat, Moose.
Hey, a little bit of pep talk before she goes out. All right, actually, Sinead, you got this. You got this, girl.
Collis was the one that after the session said, hey, are you keen to help next week? Maybe we'll just do two reps each. So a
couple of old beat up motherfuckers.
Pretty much.
His run's way
more impressive because that's pretty much his training for the week.
You're a faster marathoner. Never forget that.
Oh, yeah. Was Sinead pissed when you pulled out early, Croaks? Did she say anything to you?
No, she didn't. I stopped for about a minute and then jogged, and they stopped and obviously waited for the cool down. So, no, she just said thanks for helping me out. So I was a bit pissed off at myself at the end for not finishing it. It's like 900 meters.
That seemed a bit odd.
Yeah. It did seem odd, but you know what it's like, those sessions where you're just like, oh shit, like my legs have started, like I'm don't have much left in the tank now in terms of just leg fatigue, and I'm just like, oh, that'll do me. I think also knowing that when Collis said that he'd stop, like, he stopped to make sure that one of us could actually complete the whole thing with her. And knowing that he was going to do that, I'm like, oh, well, I can pull the pin now. Yeah. Yeah, anyway, it was pretty
it's good content.
I was happy with the week.
Yeah, good stories. Yeah,
so, I mean, I'm more, as much as I love you, Brad, I love hearing about Sinead's workout because she's going to the Olympics. It's good to get a bit of an insight on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. I was stoked as well. I couldn't believe it. Like, you know, it's pretty cool to be able to like train with an Olympian like a few weeks before she goes to the Olympics. Like, it's pretty cool to be able to do that.
With another Olympian next year and like, top 10 at World Cross Country.
Yeah, yeah. So no, it was a fun morning out. Like, I was pretty cooked by the end of it. Like, I didn't do much for the rest of the day.
You should have got Collis to sign Collis Junior's stomach or something.
Yeah, well, the problem is though, I can't take Collis out to a session. But yeah, I did say to Collis that we might have to try and tee up a photo with the two of them before they leave.
Very good. All right, Moose, your week, 52K on Strava. You're back.
Mate, I was running. I was running the house down. I ran every day. So that was real fun. Just love being back on the feet again and just a much more pleasant person to be around. So on the Monday, I did have a swim. I had foggy goggles that morning. But I ran in the afternoon. I ran with Ali. She just got back from Launceston, so we talked about a race and that. Ran 25 minutes Tuesday, hit the elliptical and went out for 30 minutes after that. On Wednesday, this was Ali's first sauna, so we ran 30 minutes, I think she ran a bit longer, and then jumped in the sauna afterwards. I decided to do all the heat acclimatization work with her because I think it's good to have someone sort of experiencing the same level of discomfort around you. It makes it a little bit easier. You know, if you're always training, doing workouts, it always feels a little better if there's someone next to you or if you know someone's suffering like you are.
Is there any science in, like, does it help with your recovery for the injury or like fatigue between runs or anything? You'd be getting some benefit, wouldn't you?
The benefit you get is fitness from heat work. So there was a study actually recently that showed that you benefit from heat training not only in warm races but in mild climates as well. It's almost like if you can get access to heat work, it's worth it. If you can sacrifice it's a bit of a hassle really, but it can pay off if say your training's a little bit compromised in some way. A nice little top up bit of fitness can be through heat work, so mainly through blood plasma volume. I think that's the biggest benefit to it.
You guys don't do anything in there though, do you? Like, you just sit there.
Like, yeah. Well, I'm the guy who's operating the, like, putting the water on the rock. So I have a timer on my watch, and we sit on the top because it's an outdoor sauna. There's a few sort of leak areas of cold air that come in, and you've got to go right up the top of the sauna on the top row of seating to get the most amount of heat. And I'll sit there with a Morton bottle, spray bottle, and every 30 seconds my watch beeps at me and I spray water onto the rocks to create moisture in the air. And that makes it much more hotter and humid. And
How long are you in there for?
20 minutes normally.
You do that every 30 seconds?
Every 30 seconds, yeah. So
can you take your phone in there and like scroll through Instagram and stuff?
No, it's so fucking hot. It's actually, it's so relaxing because there's nothing to distract you. There's no TV, there's no people, noises, phones, anything. It's like you're in there and you're just chilling out. And then
except every 30 seconds, you have to think about putting water on.
That kind of ruins the vibe a little bit. I was thinking that the other day. I'm like, fuck, this watch is annoying. but without the watch, it just turns a bit dry in there. It's not that hot. So you need, I could probably just count down in my head, but 20 minutes. Anyway, I'm getting real caught up in the small details of this build, and so that 30 second thing is probably just an obsessive compulsive disorder trait coming out. The next day, I felt really good. I ran 35 minutes on the dirt, which was like just so much better. I've been doing a bit of concrete stuff here, and I just got on the dirt, so I really enjoyed that. Then I hammered the elliptical on Friday, did a workout on that, and then ran afterwards. So that was 30 minutes, backed it off a little bit. And then 40 minutes, ran solo down towards Tewantin, and it was 9K, so that was my biggest run, 40 minutes. And I'm not getting any awareness anymore in my Achilles. So these have all been pain-free runs. Pain-free, awareness-free, basically. And I'm just really cautious at the moment, but I'm getting some good feels about this, like, rebuild now. And then ran... on Sunday in the afternoon, we did a before we ran, we jumped in the sauna for 10 minutes to get our core temperature higher, and then suited up in like the kit, in sort of really warm kit. So for me, I had half tights, I had some thermal run pants, t-shirt, arm warmers, waterproof jacket with the hood on, a beanie, mittens, and we ran for 10K. So we run to heart rate. It's really important you run to heart rate so you don't cook yourself on these. And yeah, it was actually a little, so it was about 5 minute Ks, but my heart rate was pretty good. I think I averaged like 139. So the heat stress probably wasn't strong enough. I think we actually wanted more heat stress where we would have to slow down more. A bit like we're working with Sam again from South Australia. He's doing all the heat stuff for us, so we sent the data through and he's like, it's not hot, like you guys aren't hot enough, you need to be hotter. So you either need more layers, you need to run earlier in the sun, or longer in the sauna beforehand. But anyway, I felt good, so like Achilles is good, and I'm up to 52k, so another week for me of just jogging, and then I might introduce a workout or a long run, or a longer run the week after. So still going to play it pretty safe.
Jeez, I'm just reading. Yeah. I was just looking at some of Ali's workouts. How's that big one she did? Did you talk about that on Road to Nowhere? Were you on the bike for that?
Yeah, that was pretty good. I thought that was a bit like that's not as hard as what she's got coming up, and she finished that like feeling. Like, I mean, she closed comfortably, I think, in like 308 or something. That was like a 36K, and it was just a cruise. It was a walk in the park for her. So this coming Saturday, there's a workout. It's going to be one of the biggest of the block. It's like, I think it's like 6K, 5K, 4K. Let me read it out to you because I think it's a good one. It's 4K warm-up, 7K marathon effort, 2K float, 6K marathon effort, 1.5K float, 5K marathon effort, 1K float, 4K marathon effort. So this is a big one. And then a lot of like a real down week for Gold Coast and then a real recovery week after Gold Coast. So she's got 2 weeks coming up that's like where there's nothing big except for a race.
Yeah, and I guess this other one that I'm talking about, like for the listeners that don't know what we're talking about, it's like a 37K progressive run, but I guess the first 20K for her would have been pretty cruisy, wouldn't they? Like 10K easy into 10K at 3:45s.
The first 30K was. Like
3:35s, yeah, okay.
It was conversations. It was conversational. Brakes were on, basically. And so that's why she got more of a license to go in the last 3K, because... I actually like. It's a difficult position when you've got a progression run, and you've got paces. The goal of the progression is to put yourself in a deficit and with a lot of fatigue come the last 2x3K, where you want to hit something close to race pace, with a lot of that in your legs, and you want to be fatigued and you want to be a little depleted. But she got to the end of halfway through that. Third 10K when she was running 3:35s, I was looking at her going, "You're too fresh," like, and so I've sort of encouraged her to go a bit quicker. But like, there's something like we're a pretty conservative kind of training group. And so you never really want to push the pace too much. So she got to the 2x3K and she had a bit more of a license to get after it, which she took. Yeah. Mm.
Very good. Good signs. I'll kick off my week, hey? Easy hour in Launceston Monday morning. Jogged from my hotel down to Archie's hotel. Met him. We just followed the river down there. I think where the half marathon course maybe goes, 4:34 average. It was pretty good, actually. Like a bit stiff and sore, but nothing too tight in there. An easy 25 minutes in the afternoon after Collingwood won the footy. I kind of was listening to that driving home from the airport. People overseas, the team I back for, was pretty much near the bottom of the ladder, and they beat the team that was on the top of the ladder after their...
Who'd they beat?
They beat Melbourne. After their coach, it was the coach's last game, who probably, Moose, you'd probably agree, probably the greatest AFL footballer of all time, who then became a coach, Nathan Buckley. So it was good to see him win for Bucks. Like, there was just good energy, and I just knew they were going to win, and yeah. It was good to see him get it done for Nathan Buckley. So he got out for 25 minutes after that finished, just before we recorded, actually.
How's the new relationship on him?
Oh, yeah, I've seen that photo. Getting around the tan. That same photo, him and his new girlfriend, yeah.
What do you think about that?
I don't need to have an opinion about who Nathan Buckley's dating to her.
I was wondering, because you're such a fan and all.
Oh, I'm only a fan when we're winning. When we win and we don't have like racist reports coming out about the culture of the club, I'm on board.
How can you support that club anymore?
I went
really?
To the Western Bulldogs for a while. I started barracking for the Western Bulldogs early this season, but then I've jumped back on the Collingwood bandwagon once we took down Melbourne. 70 minutes Tuesday, 4:30 pace, 7K in the afternoon, 4:42 pace. 95. So we didn't do workout Tuesday because we had the Sunday race. We kind of just jogged through until a workout on Sunday. So did 95 minutes listening to Road to Nowhere on Wednesday. And that's where I kind of felt like I was fully recovered, started rolling some like low 4 minute Ks, probably an hour into that. And it was just flowing. Like when that kind of, you cover the ground like that without forcing it, I think it's a really good indication that your body's kind of ready to go. Got out for 7K in the afternoon, 4:52s. Not sure why that was so slow. Maybe I wasn't ready to go, but just did easy 35 minutes. 9K Thursday in 4:31s, and then an hour pretty much in the afternoon with some strides. And geez, you feel better after doing strides. Like I hadn't ran fast since Sunday, and this is like Thursday afternoon at that stage. And yeah, I always hate doing strides, like changing my shoes. I just usually do them at the front of my house. So I do my jog and get home. And it just feels like such an effort sometimes to change shoes and go back out the road and do them. But yeah, a 2 minute thing. And when you do them, they just make you feel like you're covering the ground well. And feel better for them afterwards. Friday was our main and only session for the week. We did 4x3K off a 500 meters jog. Jog Bradley, like 4:30k pace, 4:50k pace. Took it nice and easy, our jog recoveries here. Hit the first one in 9:21, second one in 9:14, third one in 9:10, and last one in 9:05. That was the plan, that we're going to kind of start at 3:07s, 3:08s, and then kind of work down gradually. Probably worked down a bit too quick the second one. Like that one was probably, should have been close to kind of like 9:20-ish. But that was all good. It all felt good. The heart rate data was really good. I was probably averaging, the last one averaged 169, but the other two were 165s. Is someone eating a packet of chips or something? You mucking around your car, Moose?
Someone walked past eating chips. You could hear that.
I could hear something going on. Yeah, it's a good heart rate data, good splits. It was good because obviously I was fully recovered to be able to do that workout. Pretty much just went 3K. Down a road, turn around, come back up, and then did that twice. That was good. Dark, though. We had to do like a 7K warm-up because it just wouldn't light up. Like, yeah, you're kind of warming up. It feels like the middle of the night. It just took forever for the sun to come out, a bit cloudy. So we just kind of had to keep jogging around until we could actually start the workout, which then creates a bit of a rushed back end of it to get to work on time after the workout. But anyway, got there. Easy 32 minutes in the afternoon at 4:28. Easy 10K Saturday as like a recovery day. Just did 50 minutes at 4:37s. And then just 2 hours with the boys out at Barmer. Oh, we sent Hudson to my parents' house in Bendigo on Saturday. We did some jobs around the house. And, like, it's just the whole – I was super sore from just bending over the whole day and just my glutes were sore. And Sunday long run didn't feel great. Like, we averaged 419s and, yeah, just a bit banged up in the quads and the glutes from bending over the whole day Saturday. You know how that happens, fellas? You think you're pretty fit until you have to do something that isn't running and you realise potentially how weak your body is doing the tradie kind of stuff.
I can tell how weak your body is.
That's me looking after the kids on a Thursday.
Looking after kids is not tradie stuff, though. You know what I mean? I was like, we pulled all our kitchen cabinets off and then sanded them back and then, like, repainted them and stuff and, like, screwdrivers. And then I did the lawns and then I vacuumed the pool as well. Just did too much tradie stuff in one day. Banged me up a bit. What do you mean, Moose? I'm pretty strong.
Are you?
Yeah. Yeah. Not
you don't
a lot,
look very strong.
Not a lot of height, but pretty strong. Pretty buff. Pretty tradie, like, actually. If you want a tradesman job done, just give me a ring.
Your physical appearance
pretty
doesn't
good,
seem like
pretty good
strong.
On a drill. What about my beard? That adds a bit of strength, don't you reckon?
No, like, that's a pretend. That's pretend strength.
Pretend strength, yeah.
Melbourne hipsters love beards now. Yeah.
Mine's more tradie style. I don't get mine groomed enough. It's all over the place. Anyway, that was my week. I ran 162 kilometres. This week's Athletics Victoria cross country race is being moved. So that's not happening anymore, which is good. So that means I've just got Gold Coast in like 12 days, 13 days, and really looking forward to getting up there. It's looking pretty good travel wise. I don't think I'm going to have any issues getting there. So yeah, all focus now is just getting to the start line, feeling fresh for the Gold Coast. Hopefully lower the Inside Running podcast record a bit more for the half marathon. That's the plan. See what happens.
It's all right.
Thanks, Bradley. Thought I might have triggered something there, but didn't. Anyway, let's thank some Patreon supporters. Go first, Moose. You're on the top.
All right. Well, I'm thanking James West. James West?
Westy.
Yeah. What's that? Oh, John West is the tuna company. James West. Maybe lives in Paris at the moment, but from Bristol. So, English fella. Instagram bio reads, part-time runner, part-time transport nerd, giving expat life a whirl. So, I think you've got that right. Sounds like he's an expat, Brady.
Yeah, that's what happens when you live somewhere else.
Yeah, just for those that don't know. Ran 1 hour 35, which was an 18-minute PB at Bristol Half Marathon in 2019. Hey, what's a transport nerd?
Well, maybe someone that's into... like, you know, how, like, highways are designed and stuff. You know what I mean? I don't know.
A railway line?
Loves and planes and automobiles.
I mean, some people are into trains and stuff. I get that, like, some four-year-olds.
But what about those people that design, like, highways and that? You know, when you go to Melbourne, there's, like, there's highways and you get charged different money for driving over it. Maybe he's really into that kind of stuff, how they all link up together.
You go like from, it's his hobby.
You go from the M1 to the A6 or whatever they're called in big cities and stuff like that.
Do you reckon he goes and drives it on Sundays just for a kick?
Maybe he's got the old, like, Malways, you know, just collects those kind of books.
Malways were fun, weren't they?
Well, James lives overseas. I have no idea what Malways are. Brad wouldn't know what Malways is. Remember your parents used to get him out, Moose, every time you go to the big city, get the Malways out?
Oh, they lived in the back of the car.
In the glove
box? The Malways lived in the back of the car, and I used to love searching through the Malways.
Yeah.
Actually, I could get
Sydney
that.
Sydney was Gregory's. I think Gregory's in, like, New South Wales.
Well, is that what it was called?
You used to buy it from RACV shop or the servos.
They would have been pretty expensive too, wouldn't they, back in the day? What do you reckon a Malways would have cost?
Well, they weren't plastic. It was like plastic paper. Not
to protect it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be a good 50 or 60 bucks back in the day. I'm going to thank John Dawson Wink. PB's here, 19.38 for 5K, 41.20 for 10K, 1.27 for the half marathon, 3.07 at the Adelaide Marathon for his marathon PB. Hope I got those right, John. Enjoys getting around the Kakarook Park Run. Has also ran New York, Boston, London Marathon, and Melbourne and Gold Coast. Plenty of times. I reckon he's ran about 20 marathons I saw there. He's pretty jacked for a runner, boys. I put a photo of him in there. You see that photo?
Nice suntan.
He doesn't look like any runner I know.
Guns.
He's got some guns on him.
I reckon he waxes his upper body.
He's got like the white Nike hat and the black Nike singlet. This is a picture of him from Melbourne. It's pretty smooth.
There's no body hair on him whatsoever.
And he's a pretty smooth operator. He could be a male model or something, though. You just never know. Not sure what his job is. But thank you, John, for your support of the Inside Running Podcast. Croaks, who you got?
Hey, just before you read out, Croaks, do you guys prefer to race shaven that morning, like your face, your chin, whatever, or unshaven? Not you, obviously, Brady, yeah. You. You hide your little small weak chin. But, Brad, what do you think?
I don't shave to have a race.
Don't shave, no. Do you find it gets irritated?
No, depends how long it is. Like, it's only a couple of days, it's fine.
You're pretty scraggy looking though, Croaks. Like, he has a bit of, like, facial hair growing all the time.
Yeah, he's not a nice looking bloke.
Do you want us to ask you, Moose? What do you like doing?
Well, I like to have a little bit of stubble because I find it gets irritated when the sweat goes in, like open hair follicles or whatever. When you shave it, it's like a little bit sensitive.
Do you shave every day of the week?
No. No. You kidding?
I was just asking.
I used to do that when in my other job every day. And it irritates the fuck out of your face.
When you're in the Navy, that job.
Yeah, in the Navy.
You'd have to do that, wouldn't you? You'd all line up, do it together, wouldn't you, in the mirrors?
Shower, shave, and shit in 10 minutes.
Is that what it was? Jeez.
As quick as you could.
Anyway, Croaks, who you got?
I've got Isabel Kikirekov from Mossman in Sydney. Run 20:46 at the Mossman Park Run, 41:59 at the 2021 Sun Run 10K, which is a pretty challenging course, and 1:36 for the Launceston Half.
Is the internet going a bit on you, Moose?
Yeah, I was just about to ride. I said, it sounds like you're out of range.
You want to do Isabel for him, Moose? You do Isabel.
Yeah, I'll do Isabel. Croaks,
you're out,
go to
Croaks.
The other room, mate.
Isabel stoked here. She gets two shout-outs.
Isabel, the two big dogs on the show as well. Yeah, exactly. Isabel Kikirekov from Mossman. That's in New South Wales. 20:46 at Mossman Park Run. 41:59 at Sun Run 10K. 2021, 1:36 Launceston Half Marathon 2020. She runs with Run Crew. Who in Sydney doesn't run with Run Crew? She owns a cat. Okay. Been quiet on Strava since mid-May. Maybe lessening the noise. Actually has a stress fracture. And enjoys ocean swimming. Oh, what sort of pace she put out in the ocean swims, Brady?
Oh, I paid very little attention to pace. That means nothing to me.
Yeah, but do you remember seeing a figure?
No, I just saw a lot of photos of her on a Strava, like standing next to the ocean and stuff.
Oh, she probably swims in those pools that are next to the ocean.
There were some legit ocean ones there.
Oh, okay.
I did this research, and then she wrote in a listener question, and it's a really good listener question, actually. We'll put in a show coming up. It's about her stress fracture. And it touched on a couple of things that you brought up a couple of weeks ago when you were injured around, like, your identity and stuff like that as a runner. It's a good question from Isabel. So thanks, Isabel, for your support. Bradley just messaged. He's going to be back in a second. Let's talk about some steeplechasing first, Moose. This Townsville meet.
Yeah.
This was amazing, wasn't it? Matthew Clark come out and ran 8:22.62. Jumps to number four all time, just misses the qualifying time though, 0.62 seconds off the Olympic qualifying time. What this means for him is time's actually quicker than Ben Buckingham and James Nipperis, but his ranking is only 53rd and they only take 45 people, with the other two boys still in front of him. They haven't got the time, but they're ranked higher. So they could potentially be going to the Olympics, and Matt Clark couldn't because he just missed that time. It's a bit bit cruel the way it's kind of worked out potentially here for him, because it does finish this qualifying period maybe a week, is it?
June 29, I think.
Yeah, so he needs to find a race this weekend, and I think you were telling me there might be one coming up.
Yeah, I think there is one coming up. I think Max Stevens paced him in this race, and obviously super, like, it was shocking really to see how fast he'd run. Like, we know Matt Clark is a smooth mover.
The 10 second
every
PB.
race, 10-second PB. Yeah, I know, but that's crazy. It's not in a. It was in a time trial, basically. I mean, he had Max, his teammate, pacing him, and Max is a good runner. And but you don't expect that outside of Europe, really, where there's 20 people in front of you in a pack. So it was shocking to see the time. Like, obviously, love it. You say it's cruel. It's a circumstance that we kind of figured was going to happen. Someone gets ahead on ranking points, but not on times. And that athlete gets invited to go to the Olympics rather than the fastest athlete that we have. This is the frustrating bit to me. It sort of comes down to race selection over the last 18 months, like what races you've selected to compete in and how you've performed in those races rather than the fastest times that have been run. So obviously Bucks has run, he's run very fast. He's run 8:24 twice, but one of his runs that puts him well up on ranking points is his Oceania Championships, which like we don't really consider as big meets or as important meets or anything, but the ranking points attached to the meet means that he sits well up in the rankings, and now that's paying off. He's big racing in the, what we call, well, championship meet. We'll call it a championship meet, like the Oceania Championships, but his success there has almost ensured that he's going to go to the Olympics, even though he hasn't hit the qualifying time.
Yeah, and to explain that, so different races, although they're all 3K steeplechases, they have different classifications. So when I look at Matthew Clark's results for his 3K steeplechases, every one of the races is a category F, and then it's got two letters here. They're kind of like B's, D's, all of his ones, whereas when I look at Ben Buckingham's results for 3K steeplechase, he's got races that, like, you know, when he did the Diamond League kind of thing, that has a GW next to it, which I'm not 100% sure what all these things stand for, which I think he was pacing there anyway. And then the one he did a couple of weeks ago in France has an F next to it. So these different races hold different points. You said to me today that different countries get allocated so many meets that they can have at different levels. Is that kind of...
Well, no. So Oceania, European Championships, I think it's the American champion. Like, so the regions have championships and they're assigned points for that. So in the past, we've always had these Oceania Championships. No one really cared about them. They weren't considered prestigious or significant in any way. However, once the ranking system came in and the points were allocated highly biased towards the regional championships like Oceania or European or Asian, that's when we started to get the bigger names showing up in order to secure points, like what Bucks has done. And so, like, a classic example, and we kind of flagged it really early on back in 2019 when
think it was, because there was talk of it about making an impact for the Olympics too, wasn't it? Like, if you won the Oceania chance.
18 even, yeah.
Well, this is 2019 when Bucks won it. And Matty Clark was there the same day. He comes third in that same race. I've just looked
that
up.
So that's the point too, right? I mean, Matty Clark had a chance to get these points too, but Bucks was beating him in these races, national championships as well. So I think Nipper won the national champs, right? So he got points for that. But Matty Clark was fourth. So he missed a chance to get points that day as well. And your top two scores for the period are what count. So you can have an absolute blinder of a race and in a big meet and get a lot of points, but if your second score is really quite low, say the next event you did was a shield event and you ran 8:45 or something, then your combination isn't going to go too well.
And this is all impacting people who haven't got the qualifying time.
That's right. You get the qualifying time and you don't worry about points. It's not a problem.
Yeah.
But we flagged this when I think it was a 2:17 result at the Gold Coast, because it was the Oceania Championships, scored more points than Michael Shelley winning the Commonwealth Games running whatever he ran.
2:13, 2:14, yeah.
Yeah, and so we were like, holy shit, this is going to create some real big problems. And not in a good way that I, like, I just don't love that. I love seeing the clip. Like, athletics is about who can go fastest, and that's who we send. And then at the championships, who can win the race? Yeah, it's not about who can get in different meets to be able to be eligible to score points. A lot of these meets, you can't just rock up to and give yourself a chance. You have to either be selected or you have to, like, be invited. So if Matty Clark is an unknown and he goes down and runs 8:22 at his local track on a Saturday afternoon, he gets penalized for not having a reputation or not being able to secure entries in the big meets, like an Oceania Championships or something. So this is, again, where having a good agent is even more important than it ever has been.
And it's I'll put this link in the show notes. There's a website called Road 2, and you pretty much just type in Road 2 World Athletics, and then you can search the event and see where everyone is, and then you can click on the people and see. So I've clicked on Ben Buckingham's, and it shows me his three races that make up his ranking points. So two of his three have been in Australia, though. And then his other one was Turku, which we spoke about a couple of weeks ago. But he's got, yeah, Oceania Champs, his fifth place at Turku when he ran 8:24 PB, and then the Queensland Track Classic when he won that in 8:27. So, yeah, it's quite interesting, but, yeah, you kind of hit that time or you're playing this ranking, this rankings game and the point system. That same meet, there was the girls, so Cara Fee and Ryan. She ran 9:36, which moves her to number 7 all-time. Georgia Wincup was second in 9:39, and Brow Erbacher was third in 9:40. So all those girls now ranked top 10 all-time, so that was a pretty fast one as well. For this one, this ranks Cara 47th. Out of a potential, they only take 45 though, so she's just outside at the moment. Paige Campbell still ranked 34th, even though Cara beat her in that race, and Wincup's ranked 38th. So, and Jen Gregson, of course, already has the time, and so does Cashin. Remind me of her first name.
Amy
Cashin got the time the other day. So only one potential Australian can get in on the ranking points here. Same meet, Jared Clifford lowered his own Australian 5K para record from 14.08 down to 14.04. First race back after his marathon, Jared. So he's come out and, yeah, smacked a good one there as well.
Hasn't he, yeah.
He has. What do you want to talk about next, Moose? You back, Crooks? Gotcha?
I'm back.
Oh,
I'm
good.
Back.
Jeez, you sound good too.
Sounds better.
I thought I was going to have to head down to the supermarket.
Yeah, get into the car park.
Do you want to what have I missed? Just a bit about the drugs and the steeple?
No, saving that for you, the drug bit. That's the next bit coming up. The steeple we've talked about, but we're going back to the drugs. I'm sure you guys would have seen this story break last week. American Olympic hopeful and US 1500 and 5000 meter record holder Shelby Horhan received a 4-year ban after testing positive for Nandrolone, which is a steroid, which she blamed on eating a pork burrito. Her PBs are 3:54 for 1500 and 14:23 for 5K. Massive news, boys, in the runner world.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't it huge?
Big. Mate, it's not often that a white girl from America gets popped for doping. It's very rare.
Mm. And the best American
We're
girl.
Seeing a lot of... Yeah, and part of the Bowman Babes or whatever, the squad that Jerry Schumacher coaches. And this story is not... This story is not as sensational until Schumacher, the coach, releases his statement, I don't think, because he's basically come out on an all guns blazing, offense is the best defense, tearing apart the anti-doping federation for what he considers is unfair and unjust actions. It's just like... I'll tell you how I found it. I found out and I was like, oh shit, that's rough. Like, this sounds real. You read the Instagram post from Schumacher and you're like, wow, there's so much passion and there's so much fire in these words. Like, it's hard not to almost feel sorry for her immediately. They wouldn't come out this fight like with this much fire if there was something to hide. They would look ridiculous if it all came out that she like she had no story or no case. And then like the first reminder of this is Lance Armstrong. Remember, he was the most aggressive defender of his cleanliness, and it just reminded me so much of that. How this was handled by the Bowman team.
Yeah. What's the alternative? Like, you know, they either go full on offensive or admit, yeah, you caught us, which is not going to be a good look for any of those other athletes in that squad or Nike. The thing that stood out for me, and this was the first thing I sent through to you boys, was how, like, in his statement was that neither he nor Shelby have ever heard of nandrolone. Now, I find that very hard to believe that a coach at his level and an athlete at his athlete at her level have never heard of that drug. Like, it's a relatively well-known drug. Like, was it Linford Christie got done for it? Like, it's, you know, somebody at that level would have heard of that drug before. So that raised a few red flags for me.
I just couldn't believe the response. Like, I couldn't. When I first heard it, I just looked up her PBs and I was like, she's the best ever. Like, her PBs are remarkable. Like, we've seen people running similar times getting popped in other countries. And it's like, well, America's a strong middle distance country, and this is the greatest one you've ever produced. Like, she's obviously doing something right with her training, or there's something else going on.
She ran 14:20. That's fucking fast.
I know.
Especially when coming out of college, she was like, what, 15 something? And it's not like she left college with very little running in her legs. Like, didn't she, in the statements, like, she's been running since she was 5. So, you know, she'd been in the sport for a long time as it was. And to go from 15 minutes to 14:20 after you've already been around for a long time also raises flags. And the other thing I'll mention is if this was some African, like some African girl that tested positive and was blaming it on a pork burrito, what would Bowman Track Club say about that one?
Oh, yeah. That's where I was going at, Brad. Like, yeah, my first reaction was, oh, yeah, makes sense. She's ran super fast. It wasn't happening cleanly. And my next, but then because I was at work, and then when I checked social media, I'm like, whoa, everyone's backing her. Like, everyone's saying, like, I've got full faith that she would never do this and this is an uproar. But then the more research I did on it, it's like it's gone to Cass for an appeal and they've just knocked it straight back and still handed her 4 years. And we haven't seen the Cass report yet. But these are experts that look at all these things. And we've seen them in the past reduce sentences for mistakes that have been with food and, you know, people testing positive for things they didn't know were in the food. But for them to say, no, we're sticking to that 4 years, you're gone. You're going to miss two Olympics in that 4 years because obviously we're running a year late now. They've got some pretty strong evidence that this is a made-up story potentially, and they're sticking to it.
It's not so much they have evidence it's a made-up story. It's that Shelby has no evidence that it's not real. Story.
Yeah.
And so she tests positive for much more than a trace amount, right? So the amount in her system, you have had to have ingested, and about 10 burritos of a normal burrito size of not just pork, but pork offal. So not like you don't just go and get pulled pork burrito. This is ordering offal. It's not something you would do normally. And it's from a non-castrated boar, which is apparently like exceptionally rare to be ever have a farmed non-castrated boar. Pretty much the entire meat industry is castrated pigs. So that there becomes extremely, extremely improbable. And here's the kicker, right? It seems like the defense or the gunning for support was based on the fact that she's ordered a pork burrito and the meat was contaminated. Yeah. But she actually ordered a beef burrito, and so now they're claiming, or the whole argument for them is that it must have been contaminated somehow in the taco truck, or she was given an offal burrito where she needed about, well, however, 300 and, oh, what was it? Like, she needed 300 plus grams of offal meat to ingest an amount that was in her system. So it, nothing is adding up. And that's what gets me. It's like, okay, I could have hacked, oh, you've ordered a pork offal burrito and it was contaminated. Like, I could have hacked that, even though it's not from the right sort of pig. And it,
yeah. Also, so obviously the period from when you take the test to them being notified that you've tested positive is quite a while. You know, it's not like a COVID test where you get the results back the next day. So she said that she went back and did a food diary for the week leading up to the test. It's like I could not remember what I ate two weeks. Like, if I had to write down everything I ate last week, I couldn't do it. I just couldn't remember everything that I'd ate or where I'd eaten. So I find that hard to believe. Also, where she said that she passed a polygraph.
Oh, that was just all Mayo trying to convince people that she was clean. And had
her hair tested, because supposedly if you test hair, it can show whether you've been a long-term doper. Like, don't you think the drug agencies, if that was reliable, don't you think the drug agencies would be sampling people's hair to try and catch long-term drug use, as opposed to just on the spot urine and blood to catch them in the moment?
Yeah, just get shaved people's heads.
Like, yeah, it's just, oh, yeah.
So do you think she's tested positive? They're pretty much, I think Joel might have said something like this on Road to Nova, they've looked up, hey, how else could this stuff potentially get into your system? This is how. Let's go with that story. We've got months and months of, like, really trying to control the narrative, get the punters, get the general public on our side, save face. But then what does it say about the whole group? Well, like, do you think Shelby's done this and said, look,
I'm so shocked that this group has come out to staunchly defend someone that they actually, are not spending every moment with.
And this is black and white. She has tested positive. It was in her system. Like, it's not a, this is a fact, guys.
But, so for me, like, I see these guys coming out defending the whole group. I'm like, this is not a good look right now. Not a good look for the group, and like, the more the group's story
so bloody
comes
good
out,
as well. You're like, oh god, you're all freaks in that group. Like, you're winning everything.
The less support, the support has waned dramatically since the full details about the burrito stuff is coming out, and since people are actually looking into the research behind it and what it actually takes. And when all the facts are on the table, it's pretty hard to get any sort of argument up for her, which is obviously why they just threw her case out. Oh, and she lost her appeal twice.
Rough timing for the team, though, isn't it? Like, right on the eve of their Olympic trials. Admittedly, it didn't really hurt the two guys that finished first and second in the 10K.
But do you see that result now and think twice about it, Cokes?
Oh, yeah, of course you do now. Like, it's hard not to. And even then, when you start thinking back to some of the stuff that group has done in the last year during COVID, where they're just setting up group time trials and running ridiculously quick when there's like no crowds, just them on a track as a training session. Have you guys seen the Bowman Track Club Instagram page? Anytime they put a post up the last few days, I reckon every second post has like a burrito picture.
Just burrito emojis in the comments, is it?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's good.
Laughable bit, though. I love how they just kept saying, was it authentic Mexican burrito? I'm like, not just a Mexican, but authentic Mexican.
Isn't it disappointing to see the running media just go so soft on this?
Oh, especially the American journalists. They were just pussies. Mate,
if absolute bullshit to see, oh, but I know her. I'm not going to say anything about that. I'm going to go right in my fucking shell and not say a single word. Or I'm going to come out and say, oh, look, it's really unfair or this or that. You're supposed to be like, just because you know someone doesn't mean that you have to suck up to them or that they're right in what they're saying. It just made me so mad to think that's your job. People pay you for this, and that's the approach you're going to take. Like, that's just soft, and it's also quite racist, really, for you to treat someone like that. And then for any type of, or not really race, I won't say it's racist because they've treated the Russians like that as well. With any type of like African doping or Russian doping, it's just no fucking question we're going to tear this person to pieces. They're ruining our sport. So glad these people are getting caught, right? And now Shelby, oh, and the journalists come out saying, oh, she's going to miss the Olympics. Oh, fuck that. Why aren't people calling for Shelby to give back prize money that she has taken from other people? Everyone does that with the Africans. Oh, why can't they pay back this or this? They've cost me money. Why don't they fucking ask Shelby Hulan, hey, give back that money that you stole?
Yeah, I haven't seen that once.
Jenny Simpson.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yep. Haven't seen that once. I think we'll hear more about the story as CAS continue to roll out their findings. I think
they're going
to
release the report in, like, what, a few months or something?
Because wasn't there stuff as well about, like, weren't they testing her flat out, like, almost, like, trying to, like, her? She's been tested more than anyone, which some people would say, oh, she must be clean. Look at all these ones she's passed. But, like, there could have also been a lot of suspicion there because they were trying to get something. And wasn't there something about she didn't want to release her? She hasn't released some of her data. Like, she has an option now to say, hey, I can release my data to kind of paint a picture here, but she's chosen not to. And yeah, what about how the tide turned when USA Track and Field come out and said, oh, we're still going to let her run in the trials? And then it was just a flip, wasn't it, from the American media? They're like, nah, not anymore.
Yeah, by that stage the story had come to light a little bit and people weren't just flatly fucking flatly believing her anymore, and they were like, oh, I don't know. And then all of a sudden she's named in the trials race. Imagine the shitstorm if she had have got through to the final, knocking pit girls out along the way.
Yeah,
incredible.
Well, I reckon there's probably even initially some athletes that were supporting her that were running at the trials, and then when they found out that she was going to be on the start list, probably changed their tune a little bit as well.
Definitely. Yeah. Oh, hold up.
When is that? Tomorrow or something, I think, too. I think the first round of the US 1500 metre heats go. Let's talk more about some Australians, though. Let's talk about these two legends over in Europe overnight. Poland, Katrina Bissett, smashed her Australian 800 metre record. She ran 158.09, fellas. Great run, looked super strong. I saw probably the last 150 of it today. You guys see that same footage? I think I saw it on her Instagram story, yeah. Good to see her over there mixing it with some big guns and smashing the Australian record. We kind of just kind of expect this with Bissett now, though, don't we? She's just a gun at 800 and gets the job done.
She's the best we ever had, obviously. Very consistent too. Just very consistent. And always at that, well, now we can say she's at that 158 to 2 minute mark. That's just where she operates, whether there's people in the race or not.
These guys are really getting it right at the right time as well. Another guy, same night, Jeff Risley, he got the qualifier. I've been talking about him the last couple of weeks. It was getting closer and closer. And he got it, stopped the clock at 144.85, well inside the stand of 145.2. His fastest time for 9 years. He'll be going to his fourth Olympics. And weren't people stoked to see him have this success? Like, the vibe around Jeff Risley, I'm just talking about in the internet world, he's got a lot of fans and people are really happy to see him running well. Croaks.
Yeah, definitely. We spoke about it the other week. There's a big, distance running, you do peak. Like, you can run well into your 30s, into your 40s, but not so much over 800. And he's mid-30s now. To be running this, it gives a lot of people a bit of inspiration. And it's just awesome as well that all these people are starting to pull out the times when it counts, to the point that we're almost going to have a full team over there. I was trying to think today which events we won't have three in, and it's probably women's 800 and what else? Maybe men's steeple, maybe some of the steeple. But outside men's 10 as well, I suppose. We won't have three in that, but it's still pretty strong.
That is. It's strong across the board. How many weeks away is it, Moose? Seven? Six?
I think it starts late July, so I'm not sure which date in July it actually starts, but yeah, I think it's 1 week off the end of July.
Yeah, cool. Croaks, take us to Kenya. See this overnight? Saturday night?
Yeah, so world champion Tim Cheruiyot, who last week I mentioned would be like the men's 1500 was the event that I was looking forward to, because you got Cheruiyot, Ingebrigtsen, potentially Stewie, Ollie Hall, Jai Edwards. Anyway, Cheruiyot only finished fourth at the Kenyan Olympic trials, which means he wasn't named in Athletics Kenya's Olympic team. He had won 21 of his previous 23-mile / 1500-meter races and hadn't finished worse than third since May 2017. So that's massive news. But I don't know if you guys read a Let's Run article. So there's still a chance that he could get a run. So the guy that finished second, Kumar Etyang, so he's pretty much come out of nowhere. And Kenya, in terms of the world doping, they're a Category A federation, so the highest risk level of doping. And so for their athletes to run, they have to have had three out-of-competition tests in the 10 months leading up to the event. So potentially this guy hasn't actually been, like, drug tested for 10 months, like, you know, in the last 10 months, or hasn't had three out-of-competition tests for the last in the last 10 months, which means he would actually be ineligible to compete at the Olympics. And the same thing happened in 2019 when the top two finishers at the Kenyan World Champs trials, Michael Kibet and Daniel Simiyu, they weren't allowed to compete at Worlds because they had insufficient out-of-competition testing. So just watch this space. He may still be running in Tokyo.
He didn't look great in that trials race, though. They smashed him pretty easy.
Hard not to pick him, though.
He's been sick. Was that you that said? Was it Christian who said that?
Christian from Norway. He'd know.
Yeah, reckons he's been under the weather. So obviously,
how does he know that stuff?
Because he's
Kenova.
Lives in fucking Kenya.
Yeah, Kenova.
So, anyway, it's interesting. So there's still a chance that he could be there.
For the better of the sport, you need him there.
Oh, yeah. Big call leaving him out of the team.
But the Kenyan Olympic selection is always fucking wild.
There's one every 4 years, isn't
there? Yeah, you just don't know what's going to happen there. But he's the best runner of the past 4 years, 5 years, like outside Aspel Kiprop. It's a bit sad actually not seeing him there.
Yeah.
I mean, I bet you Stewie's like hanging for it.
Ingebrigtsen as well.
Yeah. Their decision for a race may be based off what Cheruiyot does, whether he gets a gig or not.
Yeah. Yeah, Stewie's for sure. If he's going 5K or 1500, no Cheruiyot, mate. Oh, I'll go the 1500.
Yep.
Parker on Australian record went down as well. Jude Thomas, spoken about him before, broke the Australian under 23K record not so long ago and maybe got the Australian 5K record as well. Probably should have researched that before I said it. He ran 14.02 at Parkrun at Ipswich in Queensland. Second time the 19-year-old athlete has tackled that course. He's run 103 different Parkruns. I think I saw a photo of it. He did it in a pair of Pumas as well this run. Decked head to toe in the Puma gear, so he might have a new sponsor there as well, maybe, just going off the photos. But that was a bit of news there in the Parkrun world in Australia. Listener question, Croaks. Here we go, Moose. Buckle in.
This week's listener question. Hey, guys, love the show. Croaks is definitely my favourite, as I love those flowing locks. My question is in relation to speed work for older runners and how to go about it in a safe and sensible manner. For some context, I'm on the wrong side of 40 and used to run 1,500 metres to 5K on the track, but as I got older, moved up in distance to the marathon. I feel like my strength is pretty good these days, given the years of mileage in my legs, but I've recently noticed my 10 by 400 metre session off 1 minute rest is significantly slower than it used to be, so 67 second average versus 62, 63 second. I'm currently less than 25 seconds off my 5K PB, and was thinking that if I could get those 400s closer to 64, 65 seconds, then with my strength, I might be able to get close to my 5K PB. Is it worth focusing on developing my speed again? And if so, how should I go about it so I don't break down?
Who's that from?
That's from yours truly.
Jeez, it's the longest listener question we've ever had. It's done some work pencil on that.
I think it's a good discussion point.
Yeah, it's a good question. I liked it. I liked your creativity there. You remind me a bit of Nick Earl when he reads out listener questions on Road to Nowhere.
I was about to say, this is a very self-absorbed bit of podcasting.
Well, there's two ways of looking at it. Was that so? Initially, when runners first start, I reckon strength is their weakness and they're better off focusing on just building up their aerobic capacity. Whereas I feel now that like the strength is my strength, but my speed has definitely dropped off. But I also realize that because it's been so long since I've really done pure speed work, that there's a risk involved. So do you think it's, and I know Bray, you said it's not worth doing it. But then also, I also remember you mentioning last week in your 10K race that because you don't do much, you know, quicker than 250K pace, you know, when it gets to somebody running that and you go with it, you just pop. Hmm. So just having that efficiency and feeling comfortable at faster paces, I think, is still really important, regardless of how old you are.
Can I ask you what your goal is, Brad? What's if your goal 5K and what, 14:20? You want to have a crack at your PB?
Oh, so I'm definitely training as a 5K runner at the moment in terms of mileage, sessions, that sort of thing. And the fact that I'm only 25 seconds off over 5K, which is 2 seconds a lap, but I'm, you know, 3 or 4 seconds slower over 400 meter reps. I thought if I could bring those down and just feel a little bit more comfortable at 67s, then I'm, given my strength, I'm a chance.
Yeah, but 67s is 14 dead pace.
Yeah, but like I'm running reps off a minute recovery at these. Like they're not, you know, it's not comfortable.
Yeah, but if you say, hey, my goal is to run 14:20, well, that's 69 second laps. So I think running 66 to 67s is okay. I don't think you need to run 62, 63s because you still can slow them down. But instead of doing 10 of them, maybe you do 2 sets of 8, do 16 of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I guess the point is, like, the point from me is, like, my speed has definitely decreased, like, substantially. Like, I don't feel comfortable even at 67s necessarily. And the question is, like, do you think older runners should still focus on good turnover, good speed, and how do you go about it without injuring yourself?
What about hills? Speed work in hiding.
Less, that's a good option.
Less risk, you know, those short kind of like 15, 20 second hills, even like the minute hills, things like that. I think it's when I saw that session that you did, I think that's like high risk because you're never going to run 30 second 200s in a race. Do you know what I mean?
No.
For the rest of your life. Like, unless you do some Mickey Mouse race and you want to drop down and try and break 2 minutes for 800. So that's a whole lot quicker than you, because your pace, we're talking, is like 68 is 14:10.
Yeah.
So, like, really, you just need to be super comfortable at running 68. So how do you do that? Well, is it doing a whole lot of work at 65, 66, so when you slow it down at 68, it feels comfortable?
Well, that's what I'm thinking. But at the
that's
moment,
what I'm thinking.
Yeah, but at the moment, 64, 65s, like, you know, are pretty hard. Like, I don't feel super comfortable at that.
Even like...
Well, that's like 1,500 meter pace for you.
Well, pretty much, so, yeah. Yeah.
So that shouldn't feel comfortable. Like,
no, but I guess the point is, should I, if I can try and improve, so if I can improve my flat speed, then 64s, 65s maybe will feel like easier, and then also 67s
But what you're doing is you're treating yourself like you're an athlete who's been out of the sport from 20 and you're starting again at like 24. There are effects of aging that you're feeling. Like your physiology is changing. Your ability to be explosive and produce power like that is waning, and that's okay. But you can't fight it, and you can't start pushing limits when, like Brady said, the risk is a lot higher. So for me, I like, you're always being a fast athlete. You're not going to lose that in comparatively to other people. Like, you're always going to be a guy who can go fast. Like, I see these workouts you're doing and seeing the age you are and go, shit, that's bloody fast. Whereas you're looking at it, comparing yourself to a 25, going, oh, I could probably go a bit quicker. So for me, like, if you want to do those sessions, if you want to keep your legs ticking over, you should do strides after workouts, kind of like if you did a workout. Say you work off 3 to 5K pace for you, so something that you're not quite at your end of range. I guess the risk is there's just a lot more stress going through certain areas. And when we age, calf and Achilles is the most common injury for like a 40-plus-year-old runner, which you're about to be. So you want to reduce as much risk of that as possible. And going fast on the track is heightening that risk. And the races you want to do, 5K, that's predominantly aerobic running. Mm-hmm. So I would, for me, I would get rid of the 200s, or if I did them, I would add more recovery between your 200 session to your next workout. So that's the other thing with older runners, is we need to give more recovery between workouts. You can't back up as quickly, and you'll feel that. You're like, the DOMS is real for you until Friday. So my advice is don't prioritize them. Use them as accessory things after other workouts. So at the end of your tempo, do surges, maybe maximum 30 seconds of work with longer recovery. Do strides to keep the neuromuscular side of things going, but to not really load like you would if you're doing a 200. So strides maybe 60 to 80 meters long with full rest at the end, 6 to 8 of them every third day. And rest more between workouts. So go back to like 2 to 3 days between. That's just sustainable living. Because we all know, you want to get better at the 5K, you got to run more consistently, full stop. It's not speed work that gets you better at 5Ks, it's consistent running.
It's an aerobic event. You know that workout you did a couple of weeks ago, Croaks, where you're doing like, I think it was 600s, and then you have like 200 jogging and then a 200, but it like, or maybe like 32, 33?
Yeah, 32, 33,
like that
yeah.
kind of stuff. Like that's, I reckon, like I know personally, I run better 5K as if I can say do 400 5K pace, 200 jog, 200 a bit quicker. But you do that for like 6 or 7 Ks. Like you just get super fit and you get your body so used to it, and you can drop down and you drop back up. Another thing I think you need to do is stop doing this comparison to like when you were 23 or 25. Like, and it's a cool thing to do looking back on old training diaries and stuff, but it's a different, you know, a different, you got 2 kids now, you got a wife now, you got responsibilities. Your body's different now. Like it's a dangerous trap to get into just to compare yourself and saying, oh, back when I was 1500 meter runner, I used to do this, this, and this.
Yeah. Because this is the whole, this is the whole reason for the question, to get your thoughts on it, and to wonder whether my lack of speed is more to do with my age or the fact that I haven't prioritized it for the last 10 years.
Both.
Because I've gone more to just the pure volume, pure strength stuff, whereas I still think, regardless of your age and what type of runner you are, there's still a place for leg speed and focusing on running a bit faster. Mm. But it's how you do it without.
And the drills, like the drills are good, taking the time to do those drills.
And they're the killer. They're the killer for time, aren't they?
Not to say that this is the like be all and end all answer, but when Stewie ran 350 for the mile, he hadn't run anything faster than like a 62-400 in training.
So
he's an anomaly, isn't he? But you're right. There's both things are right. You're older, so you're getting slower, and you're not doing as much fast stuff, so you're getting slower.
Mm.
But is it bad for your running? Probably not.
Mm. There's a lot of things you're doing well.
Well, thanks for that question, Croaks. Hope we answered it well.
I'm going to send you an invoice after that.
There was another thing I was going to say as well. You're using this example of being like, oh, I'm 24 seconds slower. But that day you ran 14:44 or whatever, that wasn't all out. Like, that was playing it safe, kicking it home. Like, so maybe you're in 14:30 shape. Maybe you're only 10 seconds off your lifetime best. Do you know what I mean?
I reckon the shoes helped that day.
Spikes are better than the shoes. We've talked about this.
Maybe that'll be my next listener question is, when do I need to start getting into these spikes to be okay for track season?
Don't.
Start in August. Do it for 4 months.
I got some legal track shoes coming up. Adidas Takumi Sen. They'll be perfect for the track for you, Croaks.
I've got a brand new pair of, what are they, bloody dragonflies.
You end up buying those in the end, didn't you? Yeah. Chuck those on eBay, they'll go for heaps. Guys in England can't get them. Klaus is trying to get a pair. What size are you?
Just wait, one.
9.5? 10? 9.5, I think.
Yeah, Klaus, hit him up.
1st of July, baby. Australia gets them.
Oh, really? Next week?
Yeah,
week after?
It's coming.
Mid next week.
Week after, yeah.
Moose on the Loose, purchase of the week.
Oh, I did. I reckon I've done the Moose on the Loose with the journalist stuff. That annoyed me.
good one.
This, the Houlihan stuff. What have I purchased this week? No, I haven't been. I can't be buying too much stuff. Right, I bought some tickets, plane tickets up to Cairns. I'm going to go up to Cairns for the camp. Bit of a trip up for the maybe 5 days. Because they're in the pre-Olympic camp. Thought I'd get up there and be a presence.
Surely Athletes Australia could hook that for them, couldn't they? Coach of an athlete?
I don't think so.
Send
I won't
the
get
invoice
my
through?
Up. Yeah, I'll see. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be good. So you'll go from Noosa down to the Gold Coast for the weekend and then back to Noosa and then to Cairns?
No, Noosa. So...
straight to Cairns.
After Gold Coast, I'll go back to Anglesey, go back to Ballarat working, and then, like, work the whole week.
Oh.
And then the next Tuesday, go up to Cairns for 5 days for coaching duties and then come back on the Sunday.
And then you'll be home.
And then they've got one more week there, and then they head off. The marathoners leave on the 31st to go to Sapporo.
Home until the baby arrives.
Yeah.
Get the nursery ready. Get the crib set up.
We went out for dinner last night. And
Pram.
Bree started running a few things through. She's like, so do you know how to bathe it? I'm like, no. How the fuck do I bathe it? Do I do it every day? Do I do it twice a day?
Well, no, you don't do it every day early, do you, Craig?
No, not early on.
Apparently not. And then she said, do you know what they wear? I said,
Do you know what they wear?
Onesies?
Learn how to wrap them up, Moose.
Yeah, what if it's 20 degrees, what do they wear? If it's 10 degrees, what do they wear? I'm like, oh, fuck, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff I don't actually know. Like, what am I going
to
do?
Do you know how to change nappies?
Oh, no, I've never seen that. That is something that I won't be doing.
You'll be doing it for sure. I guarantee you, you'll be doing it.
There are limits to what I'll do, and that's a limit.
You'll do it for sure. Jeez. I guarantee it.
There are a lot of. I'm sure there's a lot of listeners out there going, "Holy shit! How does Bree put up with Moose if he's not going to change nappies?"
I just can't do it. I just don't think I'll be able to do it.
Well, yeah, then you've got to put up with the smell if you don't do it. You got to. What happens if Bree's doing something or sleeping?
Bree is the mother.
Right.
This is dangerous territory, Moose.
That's a joke. I'm winding Bree up because she doesn't listen anymore because she's got no commuting, so I get away with this. But that's a wind up. I will see what she does when she changes nappies and decide at the time whether I'll learn or not.
Yes. Moose, I had never changed a nappy before I was a dad, so you'll be fine.
Yeah,
what about, how did you know how much to wash them?
No, they tell you at the hospital, I think.
Yeah.
You don't wash them that. The hospital's great. Well, the hospital in Schuylkill is real good. I was expecting to walk out and be like, you know, what's that cost us? 10 grand or something? Like, the hospital staff were that nice. And then it's all just free because of taxpayer money.
There's plenty of support early on, Moose. We like what you should do, yeah.
People come to your house, Moose. Like, New South Wales Health and stuff. Yeah,
sure. Yeah, they do.
We had the New South Wales Health people come. They bring you like a pack of like a bag and it's got like kids' books and like nappies and wipes and like heaps of cool stuff in it. That was New South Wales government.
You probably
get gold bars or something in Canberra when you grad.
No, we got a visit. We didn't get anything with it.
Oh, they bought us presents in New South Wales.
That might have just been the nurse who liked the look of you at the hospital, Brad.
she's
knocking
human.
On the door.
There are two things that I fell. It came down to the amount of dead shits out there who have kids who grew up okay. It means like we'll be all right. I've seen some absolute drop kids who have kids, and actually, the more of a drop kick they are, the more likely they are to have more kids. So if they're surviving, then we'll survive. And two, like this is people been having kids since the dawn of time. Like, this surely is a natural thing to learn on the go. And you've got, like, grandmothers. This is grandmother territory to teach the actual mother of the child. I just, like, that's just how it's going to work. Like, that's, I mean, Bree's mum has three kids. My mum has three kids. So, surely, there you go. There's a lot of knowledge there.
Definitely learn a lot on the go. And, you know, you probably stress a bit too much with the first one. Then the second one rocks up and you don't... Not care as much. No, but you're a lot more relaxed about things. Like, you definitely stress a lot more with the first one. Yeah.
Yeah, good dad chat. what's coming up? Gold Coast live show sold out. All tickets gone. We'll be up there in just under 2 weeks' time. Looking forward to that afternoon. Nearly got some guests locked in. That's happening in the background. Morton, actually, one of the sponsors of the day, they got a bit of a deal for Inside Run podcast listeners this Thursday. So keep an eye on our social media. Ben Toomey over there has got a good deal for people potentially wanting to get some Morton supplies just before the Gold Coast Marathon sorted. I think
merch.
What happened with that merch? We got some limited edition Gold Coast. Are we selling it at the show, though? Is that what you're saying?
At the show. It's going to be at the show for purchase, and it will be online, but the people at the show will get first crack at it.
What about if people want to race in it, though, before it? Can we put it online?
No, it won't be ready. It won't be ready.
Have you seen it? It's still at the printers.
Yeah, I'll see it when it gets sent to me on the Gold Coast.
They send it straight to the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
Did you end up finding some accommodation?
No. We'll wait. I'm still waiting on a few replies, but I'll sort something.
There's a meet at Bank. Spot? Hey?
You got a spot in your joint?
There could be, actually. Zachary and I have got I think it's a 2-bedroom apartment, so there could be a couch or something there. Do you want me to look that up for you?
You got a king?
I love how you've gone from staying in the Elite Athlete Hotel to like searching people's couches.
That is the best hotel as well.
Oh yeah, we're in some cheap place around the corner. Yeah, Bankstown, are they got to meet? Is that meet this week?
It
must be.
Yeah, it is Thursday night. Thursday the 24th.
That's Eloise Wellings having a crack at the 5K time too, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's a Jenny steeple. Blundell.
Oh, Jenny Blundell. Well. So she gets a time. She's going.
She's automatic. If she runs, the time.
They'll have a stream too, won't they? The Bankstown crew, they'll be onto that.
Actually, I saw a post. They were going to be having a stream.
Very good.
There's pressure on that, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it is. It's like, I wouldn't. I don't think I'd go that great with that sort of pressure. Having one last crack at it.
She hasn't been close to the time, though, Blundell, has she?
What's she run, like 15:20-ish? 20-something? Yes. Yeah, 24 maybe. So
she's still got to find 12, 13 seconds.
Yeah, which is not, it's not a massive amount. You see it happen.
Yeah, and has she been in a fast one? Like, she won the Nationals, but I'm trying to think if she had an opportunity to run that quick in a race that's gone that quick.
I don't think so.
Who's pacing it, do you know?
No, haven't heard any, but it'll have to be a female, won't it? Because you can't qualify in a mixed race.
Yeah, she's run 15:25 this season.
Yeah,
has to be a female to get her 3K. Moose, what do you got coming up in your life?
Bit of running, going to get back to it. That's about it.
Good. Croaks, what are you doing?
A bit of track tomorrow, some 1K followed by 400 metre reps. And then, hopefully some 5K reps on Friday.
Okay. It's Sinead. And Collis.
Oh, you're going to do it. There you go.
I'll do 2 or 3 5K reps, I reckon.
What's a beat as the whole session, Moose?
I'm not going to do 4x5K week before the Gold Coast thing. Three will be plenty.
Hey, did you see they cut all the, not all the prize money, but they cut a significant amount of prize money for Gold Coast? So I reckon your pace and duty, I reckon your pay is going to get cut as well. Have you confirmed that?
Signed the contract yet?
I haven't found out yet. Hopefully by this stage next week I'll know I'll know what pace I have to run at.
You'll be paying for accommodation now. They just booked you a room, that's all.
Yeah, that could be incorrect. What happens if they just say, you're just paying your accommodation, mate, just thanks for doing it. Because they moved
it's still better than what Moose has got going for him at the moment.
they changed the men's prize and the women's prize money from 20,000 down to 10. The whole prize pool's gone from 73,000 down to 38,000, which is pretty significant. So there could be some good Aussies coming third or fourth and picking up like $1,000 instead of like 5,000. Anyway, that's all on their website if you want to check that out, compare it to the 2019 prices. But yeah, Croaks, I'd be looking into that. Just seeing, getting the contract written up ASAP.
All good. That's all right. If I get some accommodation, that's still pretty much a free weekend away.
Do it for the love of it. All right, fellas, we're done. Give you 20 minutes of Road to Nowhere. Talk to you next week.
See you, boys.
See ya.
See ya.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 19 of The Road to Nowhere, season 2. I'm Nick Earl, the winner of Sunday's half marathon in the watermelon for a knee category. Welcome to my co- oh, I thought that was good. Welcome to my co-host, the most cursed runner in Australia, Joel Tobin White. How are you?
I'm going good. Yeah, I'm good.
You do seem to be cursed though, like every time you're fit. Something goes wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, it's bloody
You are pretty cursed.
Yeah. Hopefully I'm coming into a good 5 years with no curse.
Welcome to my other co-host, future Olympian and Lonnie 10K champ, Ellie Pashley. Back in Queensland, right?
Yep, I got back.
She got
many
back.
Many a flight cancellation later, I got back.
So did you go from Lonnie to Brisbane then?
Yeah, so on Sunday, I found a flight. So this flight, there was one direct flight to Brisbane that goes every second day or something, and it was booked out initially, but some seats popped up on Sunday. So I just kept checking it, hoping that would happen, and in the end they did. So I booked it Sunday, arvo, and then flew home Sunday night.
Yeah, right.
Home, when I say home, Noosa, I guess, calling it home to Jose while we're in Lonnie, and he was like, can you stop saying that?
Putting little hints that you want to leave the cold ocean and go to the warm ocean.
What's the weather like up there?
It's sunny and low 20s.
Oh,
pretty nice. Although it's actually raining tonight, but it was a beautiful day today. So
it's the podcast day. It's always raining when you're doing the podcast.
Yeah, it does often rain on Tuesday nights.
I was loving Lonnie because it was like 17 and sunny. And
that was beautiful, wasn't it?
It was beautiful. And then I checked the weather for Hobart and it was 12 and raining. I was like, no, let's stay here. And Ben Covington wanted to drive back. I was like, no, let's just hang out for a bit. We managed to persuade him.
What was the weather like in the race? I suppose we can talk about it later, but it looked pretty perfect, right?
It was perfect. For the half, it was really weird. It was really, really foggy and cold in the morning. It got a little bit warmer when the 10K was on because the fog started to lift. But
yeah. Cold's good for a half, though, isn't it?
Yeah, the weather was absolutely perfect.
The wind when the half was on said 0 kilometres an hour on the weather.
Yeah, it was really good. And that southerly was meant to come in because I did a weather forecast at the pre-race dinner, and I was looking at all the models, and they all agreed that the wind was going to come in like for the 10K and be a headwind on the way back. But yeah, it just didn't happen, did it?
Nah, we had a headwind on the way out.
Yeah, that's weird.
But not like when I say headwind, it was probably like 8 kilometres an hour.
Yeah,
it was pretty good.
But yeah, one of the guys was driving from Hobart and he said that on the top of the hill coming into Launceston, he just said it was completely sunny and it was just, you could see the cloud at the bottom of the valley or the fog at the bottom of the valley just sat there where we were running.
it was a temperature inversion.
So like it was sunny, like probably about like 50 metres above the ground. But obviously we're running at the ground, so yeah, but that was perfect conditions.
Yeah, I was praying. I started doing a rain dance when I realized I wasn't able to get there.
I was just praying for dance.
Yeah, it was just an awful weather dance. I don't know what that looks like, but I was like, please make everyone run really slow times, and it'd just be not worth going over there. And yeah, it didn't really happen. So
I would have loved to see your bad weather dance. Oh, dear me. Right, Ellie, race week for you. How did that look?
Race week, yeah. So I got a bit of a down week last week, which was nice. I'd had three pretty big ones in a row. So I did a session on Tuesday, 15 by 400. And we were going to go, we went, drove down to the uni near Maroochydore, and we were going to go to the track there, but there was an athletics carnival on. So then we found this little lake nearby where they do a park run, which just had a concrete bike path around the lake. So we went there and found a section that was pretty, pretty straight, and just did 15 400s off a minute. And the goal was around 72 seconds.
So did you mark out like a point, like based on like both your watches?
Yeah, or... Jules marked it out while Bree and I were warming up. And then he told me on the first one, stop at the piece of straw.
So like going to the barn all again.
So I was running barn, like
there's a bunch of, there's a straw, there's a hay bale out the front.
It's like little house on the prairie or whatever.
Well, I got to around 400 meters and there was pieces of straw everywhere over the path. So I was like, what the heck are you talking about? So I just kept running, and then he was like, oh, he was like, that one. And then he's like, oh, no, that one. And then I did it. And then we realized that I'd run the first one too far because the straw was about 10 meters or so before that.
The straw is.
I think he was waiting to get use my top to mark it off. But because we were down the other end, I didn't take it off till we got up there. So that was why. But then we put the top. Yeah, it was just, yeah.
Like, exactly. It's just like a little gust of wind just blows.
Yeah, it's gone. It's
40
like...
meters past.
Oh, which would really mess with your 400s, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And then actually, even when we put my top down, like this lady thought that I'd dropped my top, and she was picking it up, following me, trying to give it back to me. And we're like, no.
How bad is that? That's something that other people just don't understand. Like, we on Sunday's run, I had to write out, please do not take bottles using for marathon session. Just because like people, you drop your top or you have bottles set up and people are going, oh shit, better put these bottles in the bin. Oh, look, there's a singlet. I better take that home.
Yeah. Or like stealing, if we ever use like a normal drink bottle, not a plastic bottle or whatever, people steal them.
Yeah.
Like, that's disgusting, stealing other people's drink bottles. But yeah.
The social scientists in my department would say, it was like, they probably need them more than you do. I'm like, I disagree with that.
That's when, when you tell the social scientists, fuck off.
One day I had a table out with bottles on it, and someone came past, knocked all our bottles off and stole the table.
That's unreal.
That is amazing.
Geelong. This is what happens in Geelong, everyone.
I wouldn't be angry. I'd just be pissing myself laughing at that point. It's like, okay, yeah. You stole the table. Yeah, that's pretty good.
I got there on the last, I was doing like a 35K run or something, and I must have been last. I think the boys had come past before me and they stole it between the time that they ran past and I ran past, and I was just like, oh, you gotta be kidding.
What table was it? Like,
it was like a little camp table, a fold up.
Oh my god.
It's like a nine seater oak. 400 kilogram Jimmy Possum table.
Custom made. Yeah. Oh, shit. Pretty easy to steal, but.
Yeah, but I mean, for God's sake, because it was not as if you left it. It clearly had like bottles and stuff on it, right? So for them just to not. Bottles off and nick it. That is pretty damn low.
Yeah, you could tell too, they just smashed all the bottles off. They were everywhere.
Oh.
Grabbed it and gone. But anyway.
Anyway, yeah, go on. Sorry.
My 400s, yeah. It was a good session. It was like hard enough, but not too crazy. So they were all between 70 and 73, I think.
Wait, is that minute off?
Minute off, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
quite generous for 400s having a minute.
Yeah, but 72s, that's like 3 minute K pace, so that's pretty fast for me, probably.
Yeah.
But so we do this variably. Sometimes we do it with 45 or 30 seconds rest if they're a little slower, and we might do between 15 and 20. But this one was pretty nice session.
30 seconds off with 400s is so hard because by the time you've run through and like turned around, got back, you have to go again.
Oh, yeah, and you have to be so controlled with your first few reps because it just comes back to bite you later on.
Yeah, exactly. So what were you, so you averaged like 72s?
Yeah, maybe 71 was right. Probably the average, I'd say. Yeah.
Jeez.
71, solid. 72.
Yep.
But I didn't have any faster. Normally I can do like a couple that might be under 70, but yeah, there were none. He was every 200 I was going through, like Jules was telling me if I was too fast or too slow at halfway. And I was pretty much running too fast through the first 200 every time. And then he was trying to make me do it the other way where I start slower and finish faster. And that felt so much harder.
Yeah. Oh, with 400s, no. You can always do that. You can sort of, if you go out hard, especially coming off the minute break, if you go out hard and then there's sort of that feeling of relaxing into, you know, you hit the pain and you relax off and you actually don't slow down too much. Maybe it's like a little bit. Because you also remember you've got the, you're not, there's no acceleration, time to acceleration. So it's like you go through the split at speed. So it is easier.
Yeah.
A second there. Unless you're Jack Rayner who accelerates at the speed of light before every fucking hard session. Hard rep. Yeah, he just like his takeoff speed is, I don't know, it's just so quick. Brett and
the opposite, like, the opposite of pure poor Stewie.
Yeah.
He's like so slow off the mark.
And Stewie's just like, yeah. I'll pace you boys for this this 4 minute mile, but I'll be coming last after 100 meters. Like in Geelong that time. That was so funny. Oh shit.
That is funny. Yeah.
Because it really ends up scuppering him because he ends up having to go into lane four on the first turn to get round everyone, catch up the pacemakers.
Yeah.
So I know everyone goes off too fast in 15s, but like, yeah, he really can't. Yeah, it's amazing. But yeah, sorry. Go on, Ellie. So that was Tuesday session.
That we keep interrupting you, Ellie, sorry.
Oh, no, that's fine. And then I didn't do another session. I just did some surges on Friday morning.
Where'd you fly to Lonnie?
Then I flew to Lonnie. Yeah. So originally I was supposed to fly to Melbourne and then I was going to be on the same flight as you, Joel. But my flight to Melbourne got cancelled. I booked another one that got cancelled. So then I booked a direct flight from Brisbane to Lonnie and I couldn't get one on Saturday. So I ended up going Friday night. So I did a jog with surges Friday morning, flew to Lonnie Friday night, then I just did a jog there.
Did Welch sort you out with a hotel then for Friday as well?
Yeah, he did in the end.
Oh, he really,
really
looks
nice.
After you, doesn't he? Cool.
I had to pay a fair bit extra in flights though in the end because they kept getting cancelled and I had to keep booking new ones. But yeah, that was nice.
Surely
he looked after me.
Surely they, you don't have to pay if they cancel the flight, obviously.
The flight itself is more expensive than you.
Yeah.
You have to cover
I just had to. Yeah, if they cancel your flight, I think you get a refund.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we saw that.
I have to remember to do that. Because they tried to put me on, they kept trying to put me on flights the next day, but it didn't work.
It's like, no, I need to. Yeah.
Actually need to get there on but everyone was in the same boat. Like nearly every single person that had flown to Lonnie had a flight cancelled or changed or something. So it's just how it was. I think
mostly runners. Guys.
Well, you say they were business people or something.
On the
hat? Oh no, it was Beth Brady was talking about a load of business people going from like Melbourne.
Yeah, but all the runners, they meant business, like Ellie. Ellie's just
business.
I'm here.
So then the race on Sunday, that was, I guess, a session. Do you want me to talk about that now? Or?
Oh, we don't need to hear it. Anyway, next
question. All right, moving on. So, yeah, so what are your expectations like before the race?
Yeah, so I really wasn't sure, to be honest. Like I feel like I'm probably close to the fittest I've ever been right now. So I was hoping that I would be able to run a road PB. So my road PB is 32 low, I think, from Lonnie a couple of years ago, maybe 32.02 or 32.03. And then it was a little disappointing not having the Melbourne guys come over because, you know, Sinead obviously – she makes me run fast whenever I race her and I knew then the pace would be on. But we had like Leanne Pompiani from Canberra. And then Ruby Smee, the Tassie girl, who's a gun, who's only 20.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just wasn't really sure how the race was going to play out, but I thought I was actually going to still try and have a crack at a PB anyway. So I thought I'll just go out and try and sit on 310, somewhere between 310 and 312.
You start for the first 5K. Right?
Yeah, we started with the boys.
So does that mean there were boys to check, like, surely there'd be
guys around. Yeah.
He was with my mate, Nath Morrie, for a bit until you dropped him. But I guess.
Yeah, so I had a little pack. And so we went through the first K and went out way too fast right at the start. But the first K was 3:05. Wow. And then I was like, oh, that's a bit too fast. I'll just relax a little bit. And then I thought we were running around sort of 3:10, 3:11s. So I saw the 2K split, which was 6:22. And I was like, yep, perfect. And then I didn't look again until 5K, and at 5K it was 16:15. So we'd significantly slowed down, and I was thinking like, oh, I'm feeling pretty good today.
Yeah, 15:40, I reckon. Go halfway.
But I thought I was feeling pretty good, probably because we were in this pack and I felt like we were running a really even pace, but I think we were just gradually getting slower and slower.
So was Poppy still with you?
Leanne was right beside me, and we were with your mate Nick, and then Jordan, one of the Lonnie guys, and then there were a couple of other guys sort of surging all around us. And then I saw the 5K split and I was like, oh crap, that's like quite, I wanted to try and go through around 16 flat or just under.
Come you didn't check your watch on 4K?
Oh, I actually looked at it, but I had it set on this stupid thing where the average pace is really small at the bottom and I can't read it.
She had it on the time of day screen.
Normally I have it on a different setup. Normally I have it set on trail run, which might sound silly to some people, but because at home I run on trails all the time, the trail run function on Coros is a little more accurate with the GPS when you go off on trails. But and so I have the screen set up so that average pace is in big writing so I can see it. And I usually just leave it on that for sessions. But anyway, I had it on run and then I couldn't see the pace, so I didn't look.
But you know you've got the time. The time's big though. So through 4K, you need, you know, if you're running 3:10.
She doesn't want to do maths while she's
doing it. No, I didn't. 40. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was on there. But I didn't. I knew that 6:22 was 3:11s, but then I didn't really work it out after that. I didn't even look at like the 3K or 4K markers. I didn't even really see them or look at.
Yeah, they sometimes. So come I just up really wasn't. Fast. If you're searching for K markers, you're probably not too focused on relaxing.
I guess, yeah. If you're in a pack,
they come pretty quick.
And to be honest, I thought we were running that pace. I was like, oh, this is good. We're in a nice rhythm. So I just didn't really check. And then I was a little surprised at 5K that it was that pace, and I was feeling okay at that point, but I wasn't feeling amazing. And then anyway, I started surging after that though, to try and get a bit faster. And then
got rid of the
every
girls.
Time I surge, well, Leanne was still there till about 7K.
Okay.
And then I just felt, yeah, like my legs just felt whenever I tried to run faster, I just felt like my legs didn't really have it. They were just a bit
flat.
Yeah, just tired.
That's what marathon training does.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think so. And
marathon training, yeah.
Yeah. And I going into it, I wasn't sure. Like I did think that big month I've just done could really be still in my legs and it could kind of come back to bite me a bit. But I also thought, oh, but you know, you know how you never know. Sometimes when you're in heavy training, you can have really good races and surprise yourself, and other times it's terrible. So I just thought, I'll just see what happens. And, in the end I ran 32:20. So I did run a faster second half.
Did you feel great? You were pushing your own pace, because when you're on the front of the pack then, like on the way back?
Yeah, I was from the turnaround, I went to the front and, tried to sort of push it.
Do you think that maybe you just sat in the pack and kind of, like if you were dictating the pace for yourself, do you reckon it would have gone better maybe?
Yeah, but I don't know. The way that my legs felt at the end, going out faster in the first half could have ended really badly. Yeah.
Negative splitting is a good experience, definitely.
Yeah, I never negative split. So
yeah,
that was...
geez.
But again, good. I had a sort of slower first half. So Yeah, it was. I was really happy to get the win, and I mean, obviously, we were missing Sinead and some other really strong Melbourne runners, so it wasn't quite the depth that it was going to be. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, 32:20. I think Julian thought I was going to be disappointed with that, and I probably was a little. But then when I broke it down and thought about it, like, I think that's fine. That's kind of, you know, it was a good hit out, and I'm not too concerned by that, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and it's not like, it's far from a disaster. It's probably like a par performance. It's not like, you know, you can't really say that it's great, but it's certainly not bad, and it's absolutely solid in your block, essentially. So, yeah.
It's nice to have a par performance and get a win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though the competition wasn't what you were expecting, with all the Melburnians not being able to get there, but yeah.
Good work. And Leanne, like, she's really fit at the moment. She put up a fight, like, she didn't want to. I was surging, and she really hung on for quite a long time.
That is so shit.